Amen. Good morning. I've decided to suspend the lesson I had prepared for today because we had such a powerful object lesson already. What you've witnessed this morning in our worship gathering together is a tremendous testimony to the power and influence of fathers, and how appropriate that we got to witness that on Father's Day. And so I just want to spend a few minutes this morning giving a challenge to Tab and to Robbie, to myself, to all the fathers in this room about the influence that we have over the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and really just other people around us that we must never take for granted. I think one of the most profound influences that shapes our lives is the influence of our fathers upon us. If you think back over the events of your life that have greatly determined the person that you are, I would say that in that list somewhere, probably at the top, has been the influence of your father, either for good or for bad. There's no getting around it that the things done and said, the examples given, the things that were modeled, the things that were taught, the guidance that was provided by our fathers in our youth have a dramatic impact upon the people that we become. But you know, as a father, and those of us that are fathers in the room, I think we need to all be reminded that our role is not just about teaching our sons and our daughters how to balance a checkbook, how to hit a baseball, or how to fix a car. The father's main task, and it is a big one, is to guide our children into understanding what their purpose is. I want to read to you from Psalm 78. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell them to the next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which He commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they would in turn tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. The psalmist is pretty clear there, isn't he, about the impact that we can have upon the generations that succeed us. And much of it is determined by the things we do in the here and now, the things we teach, the examples we give, the guidance that we provide. I don't know how you would define the word fatherhood if someone were to press you for a definition. I'm not sure how I would define it. But I read one definition just last night, in fact, that I thought was really a great definition of the idea of fatherhood. Fatherhood is leadership, and leadership is influence. I think that's a tremendous way to think about fatherhood, because as fathers, we have been entrusted with a sacred task. And that is to provide the spiritual direction and guidance over our families. Now, how can you provide guidance? It's one thing to provide dictates. It's one thing to demand compliance. It's another thing altogether to have the power of influence over the lives of people in your life. Influence is not something that can be demanded. It is not something that can be forced. But instead, influence is something that you win in the lives of people around you. And fatherhood is very much an exercise in demonstrating a strong and intentional leadership by the power of your influence. How do you win influence over the lives of people in your life, particularly those that are closest to you, maybe your children, in fact? I think it has to do primarily with winning trust. And the way you win trust in the lives of your children is by your demeanor, by not being harsh. In fact, Paul put it this way in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. Fathers, this is from the New Living Translation. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. It's about being gentle and approachable. Strong, yes. Intentional, absolutely. But approachable. So you win influence. Many years ago, I read a quote from James Dobson, and I've never forgotten it. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. So if that is the result you get by imposing rules without relationship, that tells me not that rules aren't important, but it tells me that what is paramount is the relationship, is developing that trust, developing that influence through a demeanor of gentleness and approachability. Many of us fathers were present at the birth of our children. And we were there at the bedside when we saw our children draw their first breath of life. And in that moment, if you have any degree of self-awareness at all, you know what a tremendous privilege, but responsibility is on your shoulders. That God is entrusting me as a father with a soul that is just as valuable, just as important as my own. And He is giving me the responsibility to be the mentor, the ambassador, the guide, the partner for this soul through their life to guide them to know the Lord. Wow. What a task that is for us. But what an awesome purpose to have in life. Many of us knew that huge responsibility, and maybe it took your breath away in that moment when it really hit you. Maybe it wasn't there in the delivery room. Maybe it was days later when you're holding that baby for the first time and it's crying in the middle of the night. And you realize, as a father, I'm responsible for this soul. But now we've seen two fathers this morning present at the new birth of their children. They've been witnesses here when the Holy Spirit has given birth to something even more magnificent in the lives of their children. A brand new start. To be born again into a new demeanor of life. A decision to follow Christ. And so I commend these two fathers and all of us as fathers as we have the task to guide our children, not just to teach them life skills, but to teach them what their purpose is and lead them to the moment when they would of their own free will choose to follow Christ. But I want to say to all of us fathers, not just to these two, but to all of us, that our task is far from over when our children choose to be born again into Christ. In fact, in many ways, your task has just begun. Because as fathers, our responsibility is to be present in the journey, moment by moment, along the pathway, as our children stumble along and try to find their way into understanding fully what it means to follow Christ, just as we had to stumble along too. But oh, what a tremendous advantage that our children will have if we, as genuine Christ followers, are there with them step by step along the way to help them and guide them and provide gentle encouragement as they find their way into their life with Jesus. The Old Testament gives us a really clear directive about how to do that. From Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. As fathers, on a Father's Day, whether you're a father, whether you're a grandfather, I want to challenge myself and challenge us all from God's holy word. It is so easy in the hustle and bustle and the demands that have been placed upon us as men to provide for our families to be lost along the way, to be so consumed in the tasks we have to accomplish that we become relationally disconnected from those that are the most important to us. It is all too tempting for us to check out because we're tired at the end of the day and not engage in deliberate, intentional mentoring and guiding and direction of our children in their discipleship walk. And I want to say to all of us that, men, we must gird up our loins. We must really be courageous and reject passivity. It is so easy for men to fall into a passive type of lifestyle. We must reject it, and we must take up the mantle, men, to be men of God, men of intentionality, men of spiritual direction, men of wisdom, men that do not leave the spiritual guidance of our children and co-opt it out to our wives, or leave it for the women of the church, or leave it for other people to do. But we realize it's our role to teach our children in the ways of the Lord. In the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, instruct your children, teach your children, nurture them, in fact, in the instruction, in the discipline, in the guidance of the Lord. And by so doing, what we're doing, fathers, is rather than just trying to get through the day, I want to challenge you and me to remember the future. Remember the future. That the most sacred task that we have is to help our children get to heaven. There is no more important task that we have. And that's why that when the church is looking for men that can be the spiritual fathers among us, that Scripture tells us when you start looking for the men that will be your leaders in the church, look among you and find men that have already been demonstrating by the conduct of the way they deal with their children that they know how to instill a lasting faith in the lives of others. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well, and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner that is worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And so, men, we live in desperate times when masculinity is under attack, or there has been parroted a false definition of what masculinity really is that we have fallen prey to. It is time for us to rise up and be men of God. It's time for us to rise up and be genuinely, relationally invested in the lives of our children and instill a lasting faith in their hearts and in their lives. It's time for men of God to rise up and from the wealth of that wisdom and experience that has been cultivated in the nursery of the home itself, can rise up and be spiritual leaders in God's church that can lead us forward in a spirit-filled direction of God's purpose in this world. We desperately need, perhaps more than anything else in our world today and in the church, we need real fathers. And I want to challenge you men, step up and be a real father. You know what? You have a heavenly father. And that father in heaven is not some kind of dictator, authoritarian figure in the sky. He is full of compassion, full of love. He looks down upon us with tender mercy. He does have for us instructions and guidance, and he wants us to follow in his ways. And he cannot allow injustice to go unpunished. And he can't turn a blind eye to the behaviors that his children engage in that would destroy us. He wants to save us from that, to save us from ourselves. But he is a good, good father who is always looking out for you. And you may be here today and you know that you didn't have the kind of father that you wished you'd had that we talked about this morning. Well, guess what? You may have had a good father like that all along and you just didn't realize it. Your father in heaven, he is a father to the fatherless. And he's the best father of all. And he invites you to come and to know the abundance and the joyfulness of a life well lived that is on purpose, that ends in the eternal embrace and care of being in your Father's house. But the way is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Will you embrace him and follow after him? If we can help you in any way to begin that journey. You know what? You've had some great examples today. And regardless of what age you may be, you may realize today is the day to embrace your heavenly Father and his plan for you. Why not be baptized into Christ today? Today is a great day to honor your heavenly Father with that decision. Or perhaps we need to talk more and you need to have a better understanding to count the cost of what discipleship is about. We would love to offer a safe and inviting place where you can ask your honest questions, even your doubts, and get some good guidance and direction. There are men of spiritual wisdom and women too in this church that can help you with that. Or maybe you need prayers from the spiritual fathers, the shepherds of this church, and they'll be available in the library if we can help you. Come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.